Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I am the founder of Gear Media Studios, a content creation studio with the focus on podcasting.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities about their business journeys.
I'm going to switch over to Jim now. So Jim Baroud has been a fixture in the New Jersey entrepreneurial community ever since I've lived there 20 years.
I remember when we went to his first meetups 20 years ago, remember at Fairleigh Dickinson University?
Yeah, and he just has his finger on the pulse. And what's interesting about Jim, I just want to bring up, is he's doing events again, really good events, and he gets a lot of people there. And post-COVID, it's been kind of hard to get people coming back to events. So I want to pick his brain on that, and I want to hear what he has to say about AI. So you choose, Jim. Do you want to continue the AI conversation? You want to talk about your events?
Well, I'll talk about AI for a little bit and entrepreneurship, because this has been such a great discussion and some great entrepreneurs next to me. And as you said about the social media now, you really have to, even though you have an amazing audience, I mean, you're like with the top 0.01% of people who have audiences that big. But now with the algorithm, it's really focused on interest, right? So if you do really interesting content, the algorithm will find it and serve it up to hundreds, thousands, millions, whatever, and then it'll go viral, right? And that's what you really want. But so the good thing is you've got a great audience. The good thing for new people, though, if you do some really good content, you might be able to go viral and become as successful as you. But then some of the sort of best practices you probably know is once you go viral is to capture that audience and make an email list, right? And serve them up a weekly, monthly, whatever newsletter of what you're selling. Because then you own that audience and you're not victim to the platforms if they change their algorithm or don't like you anymore for any reason.
That's why I said diversify. If you only have a TikTok audience, nobody knows what the future of TikTok is. It could go away tomorrow.
Exactly.
It's not, though, because too many people are making money from it.
No doubt, but they keep continuing to hold that. And the truth is that it could. I mean, one day it could just go away.
Yeah. And you've been part of this big mega trend about live selling for a long time it's become really, you know, the next big
thing. So what is live selling? Tell our audience.
Well, it's going on a platform, and I'm sure we can talk about it, you know, going on a platform and talking to your audience and selling
things. Live streaming?
It's live streaming.
Kind of QVC style almost, if you think about it. People are just demonstrating and showing the product, kind of like you would watch QVC, but you're the person that they're connecting with.
Or it could be part of a comedy skit or something where you just can sell something on the side or it'll show up and you can click on it.
These days, literally, some people aren't even there. Face isn't in the frame. It's just their hands with a camera and they're like opening stuff and showing you how it works and people are just buying it. It's just wild.
Live selling was also very common. I'm talking many years ago when at night after 11 o'clock when TV channels didn't have anything, they would be selling all these products, you know, for $9.99. Right? That's what it was, live selling.
Well, now people lay in bed with their phone and they watch it while they are getting ready to sleep instead of watching TV. A lot of people are watching live shows, live selling, and buying from their pajamas.
And you know what times people are actually buying. You can track that.
Yeah.
You know, when is the optimal time
to sell? Pull out your crystal ball. What do you think AI is going to do to us in the next couple of years? Or for us. I shouldn't say to us. I should say for us.
That's a pretty open question.
We will become its pets.
Can't wait.
Well, speaking of AI, I mean, I should say that there's also this resurgence of humanity, right? Sherry just mentioned people are coming to her shows. You just mentioned people are coming to my events. There's sort of this re-engagement where people are tired of screens. There's sort of fatigue, as there should be, because we're on them all day and all night and buying things. Left and right. And so there's that reality too, right? And I think and that's a great thing, right? People are really trying to sort of reconnect in person. And that's a great development. And hopefully that continues, right? Especially for our young people who don't know how to talk to each other because they're on devices all day. And that's one of the downsides. Now they're going to have AI girlfriends and boyfriends or friends. And sometimes that's good if it's a therapist, that's helpful. Of course, a real life therapist is better. But for people who can't access those things, that's better than nothing. And so that's one of the scary futures is our kids or the young people, old people too, are going to have many friends, many AI friends.
Fake friends.
Fake friends. And we're going to have to live with that reality.
Wow.
And you already hear stories about people marrying AIs. And, you know, and then, but then there's the dark side of AIs, you know, these smart AIs are, you know, being a little mischievous, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, it's us humans, which are more mischievous and using AI to cheat people out of thousands, millions, in some cases, of dollars, and doing really negative things with deep fakes, you know, sextortion and things like that, or just regular extortion.
I just have to say, AI, it does scare me. I mean, I find it amazing and wonderful. We use it a lot. But when people start exposing their innermost emotions to these computers and they're recording this information and synthesizing it, it does give the AI database a basis to start becoming more human, right? To the point where it's you know, it's indistinguishable, I would think. And you know, that scares me, because there's good and bad in human beings, right? And it's just you know, who's thinking through this? And we're glad you are.
Yeah. So you have salons, you have places where people are gathering and kind of talking about how do humans handle AI and what's coming at us.
Yeah. So it's changing every day, right? So it's really, it is hard to keep up. And I do hold events all the time on this, just trying to explore these topics, right? How to use them in your business, right? How to use them in your personal life, you know, how to plan ahead, how to survive, how to thrive, right? And so there are so many positives from it. Mm-hmm. But there are these negatives, right? It will be disruptive. People will lose jobs over time. And hopefully at the end of this disruptive period, however long it lasts, 5 years, 10 years, that there will be more jobs, just like we have in the past. There will be more equal number of jobs after this disruptive phase of this all-powerful technology. And I try to be hopeful, but some days I'm not so hopeful. But on the other hand, everyone should be learning how to use it. I think that's the sort of the same refrain we hear over and over. You will lose your job to someone who knows how to use it, not to an AI, but someone who knows how to leverage AI. And so just, I always recommend play with it 2 or 3 hours a week if you can. In fact, again, they're getting better every day. Today's AI is the worst AI you will ever encounter. It's just getting so, on the way here, my daughter and I were talking to the ChatGPT about a number of things. We're talking about careers, because she's, you know, going into her senior year, and she had some questions about how to make a lot of money, because, you know, young people want to make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was grimacing, because that's not what I want her to focus on. I want her to focus on something that's a bit more meaningful. It was replying to her about how to get from here to there and what classes and majors to take. And then we were talking about some travel, and it was wonderful. So there's so many use cases. And I think it's just a matter of balance, using those, learning it, keeping up with it, but not letting it consume you too much, right? Just like social media, it can be so consuming, right? These digital cocoons we're in. All of us, it's really, you really have to break yourself out and go to live events like Sherry's Gen X Live or Gen X Experience. And that's important to realize that.
And I do ask this of people, maybe, I don't know, all the time, but I think the term agentic AI and AI agents, a lot of people haven't heard that yet, maybe, but it's becoming more and more common. Can you explain agentic AI?
I will try to, but again, it's changing so fast. But essentially, it's leveraging an AI or a program to do a number of tasks strung together, right? Essentially, go make a reservation for me. Or be an agent, a customer service agent, essentially a really high-powered chatbot that can really solve a problem for a customer. Gain knowledge and data from past experiences and then be able to do something for you or plan for you. Or make an appointment, a reservation for you, or think for you. It's become very, very trendy, and it's a new buzzword. So it is something that is getting very, very popular and talked about. But time will tell how these, because they're still hallucinating, right? There are still issues. It's still not perfect, and we still have to sort of be skeptical and be careful. And hopefully there are guardrails. But what we can do ourselves is sort of just be as knowledgeable as possible about these changes.
And I do want to say one word of caution for that, because I do know someone who's traveling overseas. And I said to him, first of all, beware of pickpockets. because you're going to be in really crowded areas. So, like, wear your wallet under your shirt. But, and I know you guys have heard this before, have a code word. So if somebody steals your voice with AI and calls us or someone that you know and says, hey, I'm in jail, I need $10,000, or somebody got sick, we need $10,000, wire it to us right away, you can ask them, what's the code word? And we're not telling you the code word, Richard, because you gave it away on the radio last time and we had to change it.
I was just going
to
say, last time we talked about this, I gave up the code word on the radio. So we had to come up with a new code word.
But we do, but that's because AI can imitate people.
In 5 seconds. In 5 seconds, they could take
it. I mean, those chatbots, those people are real. I mean, they copy you. They're like you.
No, my one of the guys I'm on tour with literally had somebody made a video of him talking to one of his fans. They were trying to scam them, obviously. And that video got circulated back to him. And it was wild to look at how I could tell it was AI just by watching the movement in his mouth. But it was, the voice was spot on. You couldn't tell the voice at all, and the look was there. It looked just like him, but it was not him. It was completely AI generated.
Yeah. So and 6 months from now, it's
going to
be.
And that's perfect. On social perfect. Media. People sending that to somebody in a DM, going, "Hey, it's me. Send me X." I get people constantly that are like, "Is this you messaging me?" I'm getting DMs asking me for money, and I'm like, "No, it's so many scams out there."
I have a question about that, Jim. Do you think there will be a cottage industry that grows up around detecting AI in communications?
There already is. There are a lot of companies working on it to sort of watermark, so make sure it's you. But let me just respond to the study about, us getting dumber especially young people, they can't critical thing because they're, and, I know people, including my own kids, who use it probably too much. So the study wasn't perfect, but it is a reality. On the other hand, the advent of AI tutors the promise is that it will bring everyone up. Custom personalized education will bring everyone up to speed at their own pace very effectively. So I'm hopeful for that vision and not us losing our critical thinking capabilities. The best we can do is just try to teach our kids or teach everyone, how to think critically. And there are some strategies to that, but it's a challenge when there's shortcuts everywhere.
So what do you think about this? I was at a presentation and the guy that's the head of technology for Summit Schools said they have classes now teaching the kids in high school how to craft queries for these large language models. They're teaching them how to interact with the large language models.
Yes, I agree. You're going to have to integrate it into the education system because they're going to use it to cheat no matter what. And there is no detector out there right now that can detect it. It's as simple as that. But also how to leverage it to do great outputs, to really be more effective. Yeah, because they're going to need those skills when they go into the workplace.
I think it's just like when cell phones or iPad technology came out, or computers, whatever. It's the same thing. Some people are quick to adapt, others are very slow. But the reality is that everybody will have to eventually adapt because it's not going to go away.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like we all had to learn how to type, right? Yeah. Jim, do you have any events in August or September coming up?
Stay tuned for our quantum. We have a quantum one we're lining up. Because quantum is the next thing after AI, which will sort of turbocharge AI even more.
Wow.
That's probably in August, but maybe a few things in between them. But
So how do people find you and find your events then?
Well, I think LinkedIn is probably the best. James Baroud, there's only one.
And it's Barroud, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really, people, if you want to hear what's coming next, these meetings that Jim has are really great. Richard's been to some of them too.
Oh, absolutely. Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, our studio assistant Rissakat Busari, and our social media powerhouse Carolina Tabares. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Thank you.